Let's just get quiet before the Lord for just a minute and allow Him to settle you, your spirit, and just begin to focus on Him. Father, help us today to hear from you. Help us to hear your voice as you speak to us through your word, as you speak to us by your spirit. Father, we thank you that your word is truth and life. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, you care about us, you care about everything that's going on in our lives. So this morning, Father, we just settle in before you. We listen for your voice. We listen for your still, small voice. We listen for your voice as your Holy Spirit speaks and moves in us and through us. Help us, God, today. Help us to learn from you, to draw closer to you, to grow with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
Glad you're here this morning. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 8 in your Bible or your electronic Bibles, whatever the case may be, we'll be beginning there. Last week, we talked about discipline number 8 in this Spirit-Formed Life series, a life of submission, living a life of submission. And as I mentioned last week, this is it's very difficult for a lot of people. And I believe it's difficult because of our humanity, because of relationships, interpersonal relationships, all sorts of relationships, and the corruption and the confusion and the abuse that takes place in and through relationships. But it doesn't belie the fact of the truth that living a life of submission is what we're called to. We're called to that. And so if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to go to the website and to watch last week's message so that this is part two, a life of submission. I'm finishing up today because there was a lot of detail there, too much to cover in 1 week. And so today I'm going to finish up that part. You see, a committed disciple has a tactical advantage that comes through or by virtue of his or her place in the body of Christ. We have a tactical advantage in three ways. First of all, committed involvement with your church family. Committed involvement with your church family. You're being involved in a life group or other small group, taking part in fellowship opportunities, mission outreaches, and things like that. The second advantage is through submitted service, serving somewhere in the body in some way on a consistent basis. And then the third advantage is acceptance of personal accountability. Personal accountability to others in Christ. Allowing someone in your life to hold you accountable to the faith because they love you and they care about you. Challenging you to go deeper and to mature in your faith. We all need that. We all need to be committed in our involvement, submitted in our service, and we all need to be accountable. See, we're called to submission. So that the grander power, the grander power of God can manifest through us, the power of His love, the love of our Father in heaven that given time will build trust and responsiveness in people. So I want us this morning to look at the concept of submission in practical applications to life. And the first thing that we're going to look at is the semantics of submission. The semantics of submission, and that simply means I want us to look at the meaning of or the different forms of submission. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10 is a story where Jesus heals a centurion's servant. And the centurion was an officer in the army. And so he came to Jesus and he said, "My servant is ill. Would you just speak a word and heal him?" And Jesus said, I'll come to him. And he said, no, Jesus. I understand authority. I'm an officer in the military. When I give orders, I say, do this, they do this. Go there, they go there. When my servant, I say, get this, he gets this. I understand authority. And so I understand your authority. And Jesus, if you'll just speak a word right here, not going to my house, speak a word, my servant will be healed. And in verse 10, here's the point of that whole passage. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and he said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Jesus' response was because of the centurion's understanding of the principle of being set under authority. The Greek translation here means to submit or to subject to. And you know what? It occurs 44 times in the New Testament. 44 times this is used, this form of submission in the New Testament alone. The English terms for this is yielded or obedient. You've heard the phrase surrender to God's will. Anybody heard that? Couple of you, which is an initial act, but the important thing is it's also a continuing act of staying in God's will as a pattern of life, as a way of life. And then there's the term covering. You may have heard used covering. This also relates to the Greek of order of in the Greek of order and submission. Submission to an appointed order. Covering implies protection by virtue of a person's yielding to or acceptance of overseeing an overseeing and loving authority. You've probably heard the term covered with the blood of Jesus. Anybody? Well, this is an affirmation of being submitted in faith to the protection that Jesus' blood provides against judgment of sins. And so those are semantics of submission. Submit, subject to, set under authority, covering, protection, yielded to an acceptance of an overseeing authority. Submitted in faith. The second thing I want us to see today is the significance of submission. And it is significant. The significance. And here's the first point. All sin is an outflow of rejection. All sin is an outflow of rejection. Rejection to one's place in God's order of things. Rejecting God's order of things. We see it in the Bible. First, Lucifer said, "I will ascend above. I will be like the Most High." Now you see, he was rejecting God's order. He was saying, "Hey, I can be like God. I'm going to ascend to his level." And then, of course, in the garden, we see where Adam sought knowledge that wasn't even intended for him. So all sin is an outflow of rejection. But here's the flip side. All redemption is the result of an outflow of submission. All redemption is the result of an outflow of submission. Submission to the Son of God. You see, when we submit to Him as Savior, when we submit to Him as Redeemer and as Lord, our life is redeemed through that submission. Here's what I want you to see. Through through this mankind, through submission, mankind is being restored. Restored to his intended place of authority on the earth. And being released by that submission from being subjected to the bondage of the enemy. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Mankind is being restored to his intended place of authority on the earth, released from being subjected to bondage of the enemy, which is so prevalent on this earth. Verse 14, Hebrews 2. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him, the devil, who had power over death. That is the devil. Verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, when we submit to God, when we submit to the Son of God, we're being released from bondage that the enemy places on us. The next thing I want us to see is some specifics of submission. And this is where it gets to the nitty-gritty of personal application a little more. Specifics of submission. There's seven basic areas of life that require submission on our part. Now, I can't begin to cover all the scripture that bears this out in the time I have here today, but we're going to look at several of them. Because as you study the New Testament life, you find that it calls us to submission at these levels of relationship. And the first one is submission to God the Father. Submission to God the Father. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 5 through 9 says this. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? You see, he's saying God chastens, God corrects, God disciplines those he loves as a good father. And then the scripture says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us. Some of us have. Some of us have blessed to be that way. Some of us have not. But this illustrates God's perfect plan and man's lack of following it. James 4, 6 and 7. I'm going to go through these quick. Don't try to turn to them. Some of them will be on the screen. I want you to get the thoughts. All these are speaking to submission to God the Father. James 4, 6 and 7 says, but he gives more grace, he God. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. You see, when we're proud, when we make decisions, we say things, we respond in pride, God resists us. Who wants to be resisted by God, right? I guess everybody but Karen. Do you want to be resisted by God? Do you want God resisting you? Of course not. But that's what pride causes us. Here's another specific. Submission to the truth. Submission to the truth. Romans 10:3 says this. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they, us, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You know what people do, and we see it today. We want to make our own righteousness. Rather than getting our righteousness from God, which is pure and right. And And churches, people, and even churches take this and twist it and adjust it to their own righteousness instead of adjusting our lives to this, right? Is there an amen out there? Where are you, John? Wake up back there. You get to get back up here. You'll be amening. Listen, submission to the truth. The word is God's truth. And that's where our righteousness comes from. Not our own concocted ideas of, well, you know, everybody does that. And it's okay if we, you know, if we, our heart's right, we can still know. Your heart's not right if you're not getting your righteousness from God. Submission to the truth. Submission to God the Father. And then there's the specific of submission to the body of Christ. Submission to the body of Christ. And there's three things I want us to see here. First of all, and you might want to write these down. When I say submission to the body of Christ, first of all, to Jesus as head. Jesus as head of the church. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23 says, He put all things under His feet. And He gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Submit to Jesus as head. Colossians 2, 18, 19. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, Jesus, from whom all the body is nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, and grows with the increase that comes from God. You see, when we submit to Jesus as the head, He brings it all together. When we submit to Jesus as the head of the church, then He brings the church all together and causes it to grow and causes the increase to come from God, not from ourselves. The second area of submission to the body of Christ is to the local eldership. Local eldership, to the elders, to the leadership of the church. Hebrews 13, 17 says this, Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Let me interpret this to you. And I interpreted this long before I became a pastor, but I began to understand it full-fledged once I became a pastor. Obey those who rule over you, elders, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. I watch out for your souls. Pastor Bill, the elders here, watch out for your souls. Because you know what it says? As those who have to give an account. I have to account to God for how I watch out for your souls. Things I speak into your life. Things I teach you, preach. How I handle your issues in life. And so he says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. People like me. As long as they agree with me. Bingo! People like me as long as they agree with me, but as soon as I speak something in their life that disagrees with them, guess what? They don't like me. But that's okay, because let me tell you, nowhere in my job description does God say, work to make them like you. I want you to like me. I'd like for you to like me. But listen, I'm held accountable. So if I tell you what you want to hear so you'll like me, guess what? I'm not going to like what I hear from God. So we're accountable. But your job is to submit to the authority and leadership of the church. If I'm not asking you or I'm not doing something illegal, immoral, or unethical, the Bible says submit. And this is where the church gets in trouble. First of all, well, I'll just say it. Screwed up people in the pulpit that are not called to be there, or they get there and the devil deceives them and they get off track. But more than that is, by nature, we don't like to be accountable. And we don't like to submit, do we? Can we be honest? I mean, we don't. That's why this is such a difficult topic. And that's why there's so many problems in the church for lack of submission. But that's also why there's so many problems in marriages and businesses and relationships all throughout humanity. Is nobody wants to submit. Man, here's my line in the dirt. And so, here's my line in the dirt. You know, nobody gives. And so, everything breaks. Okay. Submission to Christ as the head of the church. Submission to the leadership, the eldership of the church. And then this one, which I started touching on. Individuals and members. 1 Peter 5:5. Individuals and members. Am I going too fast back there for the computer? I think I blew the computer up with too many scriptures, so it's grinding along. 1 Peter 5:5, listen. Likewise, you younger people. Where's my younger people? Yeah, Brian, yeah, get your hand up. There you go, Rick. Everybody's got their hands up when I say that. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Humble yourself. Get rid of your pride, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God, in the respect, the reverence of God. Okay? So, in submitting to Christ as the head, the eldership, and individuals and each other, that's what makes the church healthy, when we submit to one another in God's order. Another area of submission to the body of Christ, now this is going to separate the true young ones, submission to parents. Submission to parents, teenagers, children, submission to parents. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You teenagers want to live a long time? You better obey your parents. That's God's command. That's God's word. So that you can live a long life and they don't kill you before you get into adulthood. I mean, that was paraphrased. It's not in the Bible. Children, in Colossians 3:20, obey your parents in all things. Here's the kicker right here. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You want to please God? You want to please God, teenagers? Do you really? Obey your parents. That's what it says. Obey your parents. Well, besides that, life will be a lot easier. Then there's a submission to civil authority. Civil authority. I want to read Romans. If you want to go to Romans 13, go to Romans 13. Submission to civil authority. That means obey the law. Okay? You know, if the speed limit's 70, you set your odometer at 75 because they won't pull you over then. Right? Or 79, some of you think it's 10 over is where they get you. There's all kinds of theories out there. And of course, I've been accused of saying it, but somebody else said it. But these guys, some young fellas accused me of saying, well, it's only illegal if you get caught. Well, let's see what God's word says. Let every soul be subject to the government, governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, I know I have trouble fathoming that too, but it's true because it's God's word. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. I bet some of you never read this, have you? And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves in the form of tickets, fines, jail. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. Do we have any law enforcement officers in here today? I know we have some as members. Any law enforcement officers? Okay. Did you realize that they're God's minister to you for good? That's what it says here. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he's God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, there's that word submission, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Submit to the civil authorities. And if you're making notes, 1 Peter 2, 13 through 23 is another passage that relates to that. I'm not going to go there today. But the next one I want you to see is submission to employers. Submission to employers. You know, I talked a little bit about this last week, about how we conduct ourselves in the workplace. Ephesians 6, 5 says this, 6, 5 through 7. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers. In other words, don't just act like you're making yourself look good, but you're really not doing your job, or your attitude is really wrong, but as bondservants of Christ. Bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So let me put that in a peanut shell. When you go to work, work at your job like you're working for God. Because he says that's your attitude you should have. Not as you're just working for man, as if you're working for God. Because you really are. You really are. You're representing him. Colossians 3:22 says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Okay, and then the easiest one, I've saved the easiest one for last. Go ahead and put that up, tech team. Submission to roles as husband and wife. Submission to roles as husband and wife. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to go through that together. Ephesians chapter 5. I know some of you have already said he's crazy. The easiest one of all. I was kidding you. This is probably one of the hardest ones of all. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 22. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, don't check out now. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay, that was three verses. Three verses, ladies. Pretty cut and dry. Submit to your own husband as to the Lord. So as you submit to God, in the same way, submit to your husband. Now, there's a caveat there. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Or at least he's supposed to be. So, men, you like those verses there, right? Be honest. Come on, be honest. She won't run you off. I mean, we're just talking in church here, right? You guys like those three verses, don't you? Okay. Well, the rest of this passage is for you guys. So they get three little verses, and us men get a whole bunch more. That's the prerequisite for this. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. I could stop right there and say no more, men. You know why there's a lot of wives that don't submit to their husbands? Because of that right there. Husbands don't know how to love their wives. They love them through the flesh and with the flesh instead of through the Spirit and by the Spirit. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. We don't give ourselves up for our wives, by and large, do we? I know, I heard them, yeah. I'll just help you out, guys. No, we don't. We don't. Not like we should. Verse 26, that he, God, might sanctify, or Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he, Jesus, might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Get that, guys? For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two become one. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's the same illustration. The marriage of Christ and the church is supposed to be the same in the marriage between husband and wife. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? But you know, if we could ever grasp a spirit of submission, that's why I preached on the Holy Spirit. If we don't have a Holy Spirit, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to get that. We're not going to be able to submit because the flesh is going to be stronger. We don't like to submit. We want our way, right? I'm talking to both sexes now. We want our way. And God says submit to one another out of reverence to him. And husbands, if you'll love your wives the way Christ loved the church, they'll submit, and if they're not, they're in sin. And wives, if you'll submit to a husband that loves you like Christ, it works both ways. It feeds on one another. Okay. Here's what it is. Worship team, if you'll come on up, I'm gonna stop there. Here's what I want you to see. These are places in life that we relate to every day. We relate to the church. We relate to Jesus as the head, to the eldership of the church, to each other. And we're supposed to have submission in all those areas. To parents, you young people that disrespect your parents. And I get it. Sometimes it's their fault because they'd rather throw a video game in front of you and say, stay out of my hair, than spend time talking with you. But you also are the same way. You're on your iPhone and you don't have time to talk to your parents. But here's the deal. Respect your parents. Because when you respect your parents, you submit to them, you're submitting to God. Submit to the civil authority. Obey the law of the land. Submit to your employers. Respect your job and work just like you're working for God. And then submit to your roles as husband and wives. Submit to your roles as husband and wife. It's called a spirit of submission. And here's what I want you to hear out of all this. Any truth can be stretched over the rack of cold, literalistic application and be made into just a dried hide of demanding duty. Scripture does not do that. Scripture does not wrap people up in legal demands. It does fill us with new possibilities for living in God's love and the overflow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In order to choose a wise response in situations, in order to avoid the foolish response, it requires a real, genuine openness to the Holy Spirit, because only He can lead us into living out the truth. Let's pray. The spirit of submission is not cowardly. We are not to submit to Satan, to the flesh, or to legalism. Spirit of submission is not contentious. It doesn't create contention, division, or confusion. And the spirit of submission is not, I'd say, comparatively competitive. Because the word says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, or one woman sharpens another. So I want to ask you this morning, are you submitted to God? If you're here today, have you submitted your life to Christ and put your faith in Him as Savior? You see, that's the first step of submission in a person's life, is submitting their life to God through Jesus Christ, receiving His forgiveness, accepting His love, and letting him give you a new heart and a new start. Christians, are you submitted to God? Are you submitted to one another? Are you submissive to your husbands and your wives? Are you submitted to the authorities in your life, be it in the church, as your leadership, eldership, or your employers? Are you submitted, Christians, to God's order of authority in your life? Only you can answer that today. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. If you need Christ in your life today, if you've never really accepted Christ and you're feeling the tug on your heart to become a Christian this morning, I want to encourage you to do that. Do it now. Life is short. We don't know how long we have to live. Give your life to Christ today. He'll make a difference in your life. It won't make you perfect, and it won't put you in a box that you can't move. He'll free you. He'll free you from a lot of hang-ups and heartaches. And He'll walk you through a lot of those things if you just give your life to Him today. Ask Him to forgive you. Tell Him you believe that he died for your sins, just say it to him, I believe you died for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead to free me from my sins. And I put my faith in you today, Jesus, as my Savior. Christians, you need to make some decisions today. Has God brought correction in your life? Has the Holy Spirit bringing correction to your life through the Word and through His Spirit concerning submission? Let me tell you, He worked on me these last 2 weeks preparing these messages. Receive it. The Bible says whom God loves, He loves His children, and because He loves His children, He corrects them. So let Him correct you today. Adjust your life, adjust your attitude, adjust your spirit, and ask Him, cry out to Him. Fill me fresh, God. Fill me with your power. Help me to be the person, the submitted Christian that you want me to be. God, thank you for your word, this truth. And thank you, God, that as we submit to you, you pour out your grace in abundance to us. God, we all need your grace. We thank you for your mercy. But we need your grace. We need your grace in abundance to be submitted to you, to your church, to your son, to each other in all aspects of our life. God, strengthen us, empower us by your Holy Spirit to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I'd like for you to do today. As the ushers come forward, and ushers, if you'll just get up here at the front and just get prepared for a second. If you made a decision today, write it down on the back of that connection point so we can just be praying with you. We have some prayer teams that pray over these prayer requests. And maybe you accepted Christ today. Just check that box. I just want to send you some information about getting your walk with God started. But whatever it may be, if you made a decision, God's moved on your heart today, just write it down. Make it a spiritual marker. I'm going to be more submitted to this, to that, in this area, in this way. And just let God do it. Let God do it. If we'll just let God do it in our lives, it'll be a lot easier and it'll flow a lot better. Okay, God bless you. It's offering time, family and friends.